as we continue our study in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll look first of all at verse 21, where it says, Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The context here in chapter, I'm ringing just a little bit, Sam. The context here in chapter 5 seems to suggest that our being filled or controlled by the Spirit would result in a few things here. A song in our hearts. It would result in our giving thanks to the Lord. And it would result in our submitting ourselves one to another. Verse 21. Sort of the end of a thought right there, verse 21, and most people would put a little gap before verse 22 where it starts talking about wives being submissive to your own husbands. But I like to include verse 21. I think it's important that we understand that there is a sense in which we submit one to another. And we submit one to another. Well, we're talking about the husband. How does a husband submit to his wife? Well, certainly not in the same way that God says in verse 22, a wife should submit to her husband. It doesn't mean exactly the same thing, not exactly. A husband submitting to his wife can be seen in his acceptance of his loving headship over his wife, rather than tyranny, rather than being demanding. And shirking his responsibility. His wife, your wife, my wife, needs our headship. And we should do that according to this passage in the fear of God. Reverential fear or fear of His chastening hand. God's given us a responsibility. We ought to do what He says. And when we don't do what He says, when we miss the mark, that's sin in our life. And He will chasten us according to Hebrews 12:6. And so we want to be careful about that. But the submission here that we're talking about, we should do that for each other. We should put each other, one person ahead of ourselves. We should put the other ahead of ourselves. We should seek their good ahead of our own. It has to do and is sort of tied in with the whole idea of agape love in the New Testament. Now we'll move on, kind of a new thought, new paragraph. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Now, I'm not saying much about this. Again, we're just kind of reviewing what we've already looked at. Without our vital relationship to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not fully comprehend, we would not fully be able to conduct ourselves as the head of our family or the head of our wife. It would be hard to do that. We said that our headship means that we're responsible before God. God says, you're in charge. You're the one I'm looking to make things happen the way that I have instructed in the Word. So when it comes to finances, to discipline, to protection, to direction, to education, to the appearance of our children and our own, administration, cleanness, worship, child rearing, time, and all of these things, God looks at us and He says, I'm holding you accountable. You're the head of the house. You need to take care of these things. You're responsible before Him for these things. So it's important that we realize that as Christian men, Christian married men especially, that we are responsible for certain things pertaining to our family. Still in verse 23, it says, even as Christ is the head of the church. We read a number of verses that say the same. Christ is the head of the church. Sort of a, when you want to know what you are or what you should do, how does your responsibilities sort of involving your wife and your family, how does that work? Well, the example is Christ as the head of the church. The church submits to Christ. Your wife submits to you. Christ is the head of the church. You are the head of your wife and your family. And so there's a wonderful pattern for us to consider here. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. So here's the reason that this relationship between husband and wife is not out of balance. It sort of sounds, ooh, you're making women a doormat. We always start with chapter 5 and verse 22, wives, you submit to your husband, and we always cheer that. But there's another side to that. Wives submit like Christ submits, or like the church submits to its head, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the responsibility of us husbands makes that not so bad for them, doesn't it? To love them like Christ loved the church. His love was a giving love. He gave of himself. He purposed the good of us. Even while we were enemies, he purposed our good ahead of his own and went to the cross and died for our sins. Christ's love was a giving love. Christ's love was a submissive love, surrendering his life, servant to his Father Jehovah, come to work the plan of redemption before the very eyes of those who would crucify him, would nail him to the cross. Men, there's a secret here, a little something for us to grasp. This is the kind of love, the way that Christ loved the church, I should love my wife, and it's that kind of love that will make my wife the kind of wife that I want. You see, it's something that will affect the relationship. My love for my wife, like Christ loved the church, to be giving and caring and submissive in the sense that I described a while ago, will make this relationship the kind of relationship that I'm looking for. Why is it some of us men think that we'll beat them into submission? Well, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works according to the Scriptures. Now, verse 25 is where we left off last time, so you're caught up, okay? And we'll start we'll continue our study, show thyself a man, in verse 26 this morning, where it says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So it's talking about Christ and his church. And he wants to sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that it might, or that he might present it to himself, a glorious church. The church is his bride. He wants to present it to himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So these verses are speaking of Christ's preparation of the church, but they are by design analogous, that's better, with the husband and wife relationship. The husband and wife relationship is pictured by Christ and the church relationship. What is he doing? He's trying to sanctify and cleanse it. Now, sanctify is a Greek word that means to separate from profane things. To separate from profane things. And the word cleanse, the word means to purify from sin and wickedness. So it's my responsibility, if I'm following the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, to desire those same things and to work toward those same things with my wife. I should try my best to separate her from anything that would defile her, that would hurt her spiritually. I should concern myself about that. Why? Because I'm responsible before God, for my wife, for the family, because he made me the head of my house, the head of my family. Cleansing from any defilement. Do you know of any besetting sins that your wife might have? If you do, then you should help this wife of yours to overcome those. Talk about them. Pray about them. Look at Scripture pertaining to those things. And I might add, we also have besetting sins ourselves, don't we? And so while we're talking to our wives about her besetting sins, it might be good to mention your own too, and pray together about the things that trouble you spiritually. Does your wife lie? Do you know if she has sort of a problem of misrepresenting the truths or trying to make herself look good? It's a problem that should concern you. Does your wife take care of her vessel, her body? It should concern us as husbands that our wives do those things. Why? Because, well, that's what Christ does for the church. Does your wife pray? Does she have a time with the Lord? Does she read her Bible? If that's not healthy, if she doesn't have a healthy Christian walk with the Lord, if her relationship's not not fervent with the Lord, then it ought to concern us. Of course, without saying, it ought to concern you that your relationship's not what it ought to be. It's kind of hard to lead them further than we're willing to go ourselves, isn't it? So there's always the other side of the coin as we talk here. How can we cleanse our wife? Christ is cleansing the church by the washing of water by the Word. We do the same thing. The right cleanser, the washing of water by the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It will point out what's wrong. It will tell you how to make it right, and it'll tell you how to stay right for yourself and for your wife and for the children. So we need to be involved in that. In the spiritual realm, the cleanser that we're looking for is the Word of God. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." In John 15 and verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." You're clean through the word. So some husbands say, "Well, you just don't know my wife. You don't know she's kind of ornery at times. She's cantankerous." I wouldn't say that out loud if it weren't you, the preacher, but... So you're disclosing these things. Well, the problem, brothers, is we haven't found the right cleanser. We can help our wives with those. Our Christian wives, we can help them with these things if we use the Word of God, because it is indeed powerful. Get into the Word. She'll come clean. Now, when you're really dirty, you get in there after work, you got grease and grit into the pores of your skin on your arm, you get in the shower, you'll really scrub that hard, and it'll get red, and it might hurt a little bit before it's over, before you're clean. And that's the case in our own lives spiritually and in the lives of our mates and our children. But brothers and sisters, let me remind you, it's your responsibility. God gave this to you and me to do. He tells us so right here in Ephesians chapter 5. I think a lot of Christian men are not being Christian husbands. We're not doing everything that God gave us to do. And this is a great passage to sort of get caught up, refresh our memories about what's involved in being a Christian husband. Verse 28 says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Love your wives as your own bodies. You know, there is a sense that they are our own bodies. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be," what? "One." They'll be one flesh. No longer two people as far as the Lord is concerned in the familial relationship, in the family relationship, husband and wife become one flesh. And he deals with them as a family unit, still as individuals, but also God concerns himself with our family unit and how it's working and whether or not we're keeping his word and doing what he has commanded for us to do. It says here that he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Can you imagine not taking care of something of yourself? I think of situations that I've been in where I've been close to people who were not really very healthy and trying to come in and help. And a lot of times you look at somebody's feet and their toenails are all messed up. Some of them can't help it. I'm not saying that. But sometimes it's just because they don't care. Kind of let things go. I don't like feet. They're kind of messy. I'm concerned about my toenails. You know, I want them to be healthy. Because I want to be healthy. I love me. So I take care of even those extremities. Try to. And at best, things still kind of go wrong at times. But I'm concerned about that. Well, this says I ought to be concerned about my wife the way I am about myself. I ought to love my wife like I love myself. Verse 29 it says, "For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord," the church, For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. No man ever hated his own flesh. Is that true? In this strange day in which we live, you think, well, maybe I can think of what. But that's unnatural, to hate your own flesh. We take care of ourselves, don't we? My office chair in my office, it's getting old right now, but when I bought that chair, it was over $500. That was 15 years ago. And I've rebuilt it a time or two since then. And I would get another one just like it if it cost $700, because it really helps my back. You see, and I like my back. I want to take care of my back. I ought to take care of my wife like I want to take care of my back. I love to take care of myself. I like certain kind of soap. Now, I'm not real particular. Don't think I'm weird here. But, you know, some things, I don't like things that smell pretty. Do you? That's not my kind. I don't like things that just, you get done and you feel like you've taken a bath in cement powder or something. I don't like those either. I like something that doesn't dry my skin. And I wear certain kinds of shoes. I started years ago when I would buy work boots. I didn't always go to Kmart or Walmart and buy my shoes. I would go to a shoe store and get something a little bit better than what I could get in certain other places, a popular brand. My brothers used to call them, the Kmart brand had a bull on the side of it. They call them bullfighters or something like that. And they made fun of them. Yeah, so I don't use those. Men have their lazy boy. You know, that's my chair. Don't mess with my chair. My point is, we take care of ourselves. We like taking care of ourselves. And Christ does that for the church as well. He cleanses it. He warms it and comforts and protects and keeps it secure. Christ takes care of his bride. And we ought to take care of our brides according to the scriptures, patterned after that relationship of Christ and his church. Verse 31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." For this cause. For what cause? Well, because you are to your wife what Christ is to his bride, the church. That's what he just said. And for this cause. The rest of this verse is quoted from Genesis 2:24. This was God's plan from the beginning, that a man would meet a woman and he would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. It's sort of a sad thing when you see it, but did you ever see a man who didn't leave his mother and father? I have several. Over my years, I've seen several people who just, they didn't ever leave home. Oh, they lived with their wife, their new wife, they had children, but it was still, if they had an issue, they go talk to mom or to dad. And their wife sort of was on the outside. She was out of the family. You know, this is my real family. It's sort of a different perspective of things. You think that's weird. And it is weird. It's not right. It's not natural. God intended for us to leave our father and mother and cleave unto our wife. Some men never leave and other men never cleave. They escape home and the rigors of answering to dad, but they never cleave to their wife. They never become a family with their wives. That's a serious issue as well, not to be joined to our wives. It says, and shall be joined unto his wife. The word, it's like, I've heard all my life that it's like plywood. You glue plywood together. Do you ever try to separate plywood? You end up with toothpicks. You know, it just breaks and splinters everywhere. This is a permanent binding together. God wants us to cleave to our wife, to be bound to our wife. Because God looks at us, humanly speaking, as far as our family, he looks at us as one, a unit. And we're important to him. Matthew 19:6 follows this same verse. In Matthew, it follows this verse with this. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. No man put asunder. What? Sort of puts divorce in its place, doesn't it? It's not supposed to happen. Verse 32 of our text says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." I speak concerning Christ and the church. So here's our example, men. It couldn't be clearer than it is right here. He has put the relationship of a husband and wife up there beside the relationship of Christ and His bride, the church. And He said, you know, these need to look alike. These work a lot the same. So God patterned our relationship to our wives after a relationship that's very near and dear to His heart. I say sometimes in counseling that your marriage is a picture of something that's precious to the Lord. It's a relationship that's established by God to sort of picture before this lost and dying world the relationship of His Son and His church, the bride, which we are a part of. And when you mar that picture, when you mess up that illustration because you're not doing what you ought to do, God takes that seriously. Verse 33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Don't just love your wife as you do yourself. Love her because she is yourself. She is one with you. God has made her one flesh with you. So that's the Ephesians passage, just kind of quickly to go through there. I would encourage you to read it and study it and consider what God would have you to do in your marriage as a result of that study. We're going to go over to Colossians chapter 3 right now and look at verse 19. Colossians 3:19. This is a familiar passage as well. It says there in Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." The word love is agape. It's a choice. It's not an emotion, not a feeling. It's a choice. It's to purpose the good of somebody else and realizing it's going to cost me something to do it. It's going to cost me something for them to have what's best for them. It's a giving love. It's a choice. And so agape, love your wives and be not bitter toward them. You could use a lot of synonyms here. Indignant, irritated, exasperated, harsh, angry, resentful. You could use a lot of words to describe what this is, this bitterness. And perhaps it needs to be said because it's pretty easy for us when somebody is to submit to us and they're playing their role and they're doing a good job at what God has asked them to do, it's sort of easy to get bitter toward a subordinate. If you have a bad day and you're at work, we can't take it out on your boss. That won't work. You'll get fired. So what do? You go home and you take it out on the first person you see, your wife. There she is, been slaving and helping the kids all day, and she's had a rough day too, and we come in because we're the head of the house, and we respond to them bitterly. And they didn't do anything necessarily. Mary Jean was in a grocery store down in Pennsylvania. This was several years ago, but I'll never forget it. There was a man standing there, she said, and his wife was kind of following him around. She'd seen him in the store. And he picked up a strawberry shortcake. They had a nice bakery in there. It was a beautiful cake, I'm sure, because they did a lot of really nice work. It was a strawberry shortcake, and he had it in his hand, and he was walking a little bit, and he thought something. You could tell he thought something, and he turned around like this. And his wife was right there. And he bumped the cake on his wife when he turned around. And he dropped the cake in the floor. And he blamed her right out loud in front of everybody who was, you know, everybody's looking. The cake hit the floor and everybody's looking. And he blamed his wife and called her all sorts of not so nice names. And he said, "Now clean it up." And so she immediately, without a word, started cleaning it up. And everybody's heart went out to this lady who was cleaning up this cake. He had a bitter spirit toward his wife. quite the contrary to what we're commanded to do in Ephesians 5 and love our wives like ourselves and like Christ loved the church. And some carry their bitterness for a long time. They get that attitude about their wife. Maybe you've been married 13, 15, 20, 35 years and you know, she's an old woman now. You start to look at her a little differently and you get this bitter spirit and attitude. You really don't like certain things that she does and you kind of keep your distance. Brothers and sisters, that's wrong. When we're 80 years old, we still are supposed to love our wife like Christ loved the church. That's what the Bible says. There was a tombstone of Elisha Philbrook and his wife Saran. It says, "Beneath these stones do lie, back to back, my wife and I. When the last trumpet the air shall fill, if she gets up, I'll just lie still," he says. Meant to be funny. But isn't it sad that a lot of divorce, a lot of marriages end, you know, oh, they made it to the end. They're buried side by side, but they didn't get along at the end of their life. That would be contrary to everything the Word of God says about our relationship with our wives. Our wives should not be treated like trash. It's just the opposite. They should be treasured according to what we read here in the Scripture. If you want to exemplify the character of Christ and mortify the character of Adam in your Christian married life, then the only way you're going to do that is love your wife like Christ loved the church. Love your wife like Christ loved the church. The opposite of that is this bitter spirit, this bitterness toward her. We need to be considerate of our wives. An exhaustive study shows that no woman has ever shot her husband while he was helping her do the dishes. So, you know, there's something in this for us as well. Men, seriously, examine yourself right now, your own heart. Do you love your wife like Christ loved the church? Boy, that's a tall order. That's setting the bar pretty high. Are you there? We want to complain about all of our wife, but are you there? Are you there where you ought to be in your relationship with your wife? If not, then don't let this just go in this ear and out the other. Let's take this to heart and be doers of the word and not forgetful hearers. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. Still just trying to preach to ourselves a little bit about our being husbands in a godly fashion, in a biblical fashion. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Likewise, ye husbands. Likewise is not suggesting that the husband is to be exactly, he's not telling the husband to do exactly what he just finished telling the wife to do here in this context, which was to submit and adorn themselves with a meek and quiet spirit. But I've already talked about Ephesians 5:21. There is a sense in which we always put others ahead of ourselves. That's sort of a submit. And there is a verse that has to do with our being meek. Over in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, one of those portions of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. So the precedent is set in Scripture, he could say that, but that's not what he's saying. This word likewise here is only to say that I had some instruction to your wife, but I want you to know I also have something to say to you men. And so he does. He says, dwell with them according to knowledge. You dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Dwell is actually a participle. Dwelling or continuing to dwell is the idea. While you're dwelling with your wife, do it according to knowledge. Scriptural knowledge, obviously, according to the things that we're reading right now and studying together, Christians should look upon and respond to their wives according to what the Bible tells them that they should do. Biblically, as opposed to the pagan practice of the day, which degraded and exploited the women when this was written back in the first century. There are many ideas as to how the husband and wife relationship are supposed, they're supposed to work out in our day. Many ideas. If you go to the Christian bookstore, there'll be a great collection of volumes there that tell men how they ought to respond and take care of their wives and how they can keep the relationship strong. And some of them are different from the Bible. There are lots of different ideas and recipes for to be a successful husband, but all of them are wrong except one. God's way is the right way because God established the relationship. Marriage is from God. This relationship that we enjoy with our wives is from God. And His way is the right way. His way works because it's how He established. So because of their knowledge of the Word, these men were to give honor to the wives, this verse says. Give honor to their wives. That's to value them, to fix a price upon them, to think of their great worth is the idea. Honor which belongs or is shown to one, the dictionary says. I could illustrate it with a fishing rod. This is my favorite fishing rod, I could say. Wave it in front of your face. This is my favorite fishing rod. I keep this one in my closet. In my bedroom closet, right back in the back corner, and nobody uses that rod but me. You see, I place some value on that. Did you catch it? I place some value on that. That's important to me. I should value my wife like that. You say, well, oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's easy to just kind of, yeah, sure. But have you given that any thought? Do you value your wife? You can't keep your wife in a closet, but God says that you should value her, that you should honor her, and do it as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel? Well, it depends on what realm you're talking about. Weaker physically, upper body strength of most women is not the same as most men. They're weaker in that sense. Weaker, you could say they're weaker emotionally, but in some circumstances you might call that stronger to be emotional, caring. But the weaker vessel, so God says. I have known women who are extremely strong spiritually. They're not necessarily weaker spiritually. As a matter of fact, I would say in my experience as a pastor that I have known more spiritual-minded, mature, godly women than I have known spiritually-minded, mature, godly men. I think that's a shame. And these women were married. And their husbands, some of them came to church, but the woman loved the Lord and he just sort of came along for the ride. How sad that is. So we're supposed to honor them as the weaker vessel, understanding they're not weak in every way. My wife is such an asset. She has a good memory. And I don't, you know. I have a problem recalling sometime, and she knows what I'm thinking, and she tells me the word, and I'll spit it right out. And my wife is a tremendous asset to me. How about it? How do you feel about that? If our women are considered in light of the Scripture, they would receive the consideration and the thoughtfulness and the honor that's intended by God for them, the weaker vessels. If they're considered in light of the Scripture, we would honor them. We would be thoughtful. We would give consideration to our wives if we thought about them the way that God instructs us to think about our wives. You know, the world devalues women. Did you know that? The world devalues women. And most of the women of the world, the unsaved women especially, they don't see it. They don't see it. They can't see that they're devalued. They're fighting for their equality, and they're fighting for their honor in this world that devalues them. And what they really don't understand, if they really want to be honored, they need to get around people who read the Bible and understand the Scriptures, because the Scriptures require of us that we men honor the ladies. And many of them, the feminists and all of those who are fighting for their freedom and their equality, they don't understand the Scriptures like you and I do. They don't read them, and they don't understand the honor that God just naturally placed upon the woman when he established the institution, the relationship of the family, the father or the husband and the wife. So we should honor them as the weaker vessels, as being the heirs together of the grace of life. As heirs together of the grace of life, as far as the relationship to God is concerned, is a woman any less than a man? Not at all. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free, male nor female. We're all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:28. So Christian women share equally with Christian men the highest honor known to man, and that is, I'm a child of God. There's no difference. See, the difference is when we become one flesh in the family unit, and there's God's given us a flow chart for that, how the family's supposed to work. Christian women share equality with Christian men, the highest honor known to man, to be the children of God. Each has received the grace. Just the same. The same grace saved my wife as saved me. It didn't take more or less. The same grace. Each should be honored as a child of the Most High God. And why do we need to do this? Last part of the verse 7. What does it say? That your prayers be not hindered. It's interesting. That's the reason that verse is there. Honor your wife so your prayers won't be hindered. God takes your relationship seriously. You don't do what He said in these verses that we've reviewed this morning. If we don't do what He said, then we're out of step with the Lord. We're walking in the shadows now, men. And it's not good. Simply put, if a Christian man acts like a pagan and treats his wife the way that the unsaved world does, he's living in sin, and that breaks the relationship, not the fellowship between his children and himself, and now we've got something to overcome. We need to confess our sins and forsake them so that we can have that communication with God that we all desire. God can be forced to deal with us as He would a disobedient son, based solely on our relationship, our attitude toward, our response to our wives. A lesson that we men, whether young husbands or older husbands, doesn't make any difference. We need to give our attention to these things for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to share these thoughts. I pray Your blessing upon them, Lord, in my own life. And I pray that You would bless these thoughts as well to the lives of my brothers who sit here with me right now. Lord, help us to do and to be what we ought to be in relation to our wives. And we'll praise You. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen.